Father God, we pray that you would bless us with that wonderful word of life. You would speak to our hearts, speak to our souls as we listen to your servant. We pray that above and beyond his voice, we would hear your voice speaking to us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
We'll start with a verse in Zephaniah just to set the atmosphere. Zephaniah 3:5. The Lord is righteous within her. He will do no injustice. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He does not fail. But the unjust knows no shame. It seems we're living in a time when there's just no justice. And the Christian has to be very careful that he's not swept with the masses in seeking justice when there is no justice. We can't make crooked paths straight. And more we see it as it surrounds us. And we need to flee to the Lord. And we need to know the Lord's mind. You are not going to know the Lord's mind if you're not in the Word of God. There's 66 books. Imagine if I wrote to my wife when I was out at sea 66 letters. And in each letter I described something about myself. The colors I liked, the ice cream, the chocolate cake I liked, all those things. But she didn't read 32 of them. Would she know me? No. Yet Christians today don't seem not to bother with the whole word. Yes, there's some difficulty, but that's not to keep us from reading the word faithfully, because when it's in us, the Holy Spirit can use it when we can't even imagine how the word could apply to a situation, and the Lord brings that to us. It is so important that a Christian is everywhere in the Word. And not just picking a verse for the day, but enjoying chapters, multitudes of them, meditating on the Word to know the mind of God. Because if you do not know the mind of God, you will not have spiritual discernment. And not having spiritual discernment will cripple you, and the enemy will come and just sweep you in a subtle way about a little thing that's not so wrong from the enemy's point of view, but from God's, totally wrong, because you got soft with the Word. And what does the Bible say? I change not. The Lord doesn't change. What he said about sin from the beginning in Genesis to the end, there is no change. As a matter of fact, he says, if I did change, there'd be no more Israel. Because he would have swept them away for their sin. But as it is, he changes not, because he's holy and righteous. And we need to gravitate to the Word. And passions have to be very contained when we're dealing with situations, discipline in the church, and everything. Because God's Word has the preeminence over what I feel, what I think. It's what God says. And when we act on what God says, God will come in behind it and help us in it, because we're honoring his word. And God is he's the same God. There's only one God, the God of the Bible. It's not the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New. It's one God. And that's why if you just stay in the New Testament, you really don't know that God. Because he's revealed himself through all the scriptures, that you might know the fullness of who he is, how he thinks, and what he's revealed to us, that we can walk on this earth in a righteous way and please him. Things are changing. I notice, I'd say in the last year, some weird things have happened to me, where I realize that I can no longer reason with the wicked in situations. There's no more reasoning. As a matter of fact, when I catch them dead wrong, I'm wrong. And I'm beside myself. Because when you're a Christian and you're in the Word, you can't see anything. You couldn't even imagine how somebody could think you're wrong when you know this person is so wrong. But that's what I see more and more, is that I can't even reason with anybody. It just happened the other day when a woman pulled out on my street and I said, "Didn't you see me?" She was irate. I was the wrong one. And I was like, I better just smile and have a nice day. I'm sorry. And forget it. That's just a little thing. And that's what I want to talk to today, is that this is a big thing. And the Christian needs to be armed, prepared. And in Isaiah 5:20, in 5:20 of Isaiah, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." We know that we see that. And we expect the wicked to do this. And it says, "Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And more we're seeing what God calls evil, men are calling good. I have no problem with it. You shouldn't either. The reason is, as long as it's among the wicked, I have no problem, because they're doing what comes naturally. I don't like it. I feel it. I want justice. But God says He has everything under control. There's a time for everything. Judgment's going to come. But I have one responsibility: to live in this world as a light, represent the Lord in all things. What bothers me the most is Malachi 2:17. This is the Lord talking to His people. Malachi 2:17, "You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, 'How have we wearied Him?' In that you say, 'Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delights in them.' Or, 'Where is the God of justice?'" This is among the people of God. Yes, we know they're dealing with unbelievers within Israel, but within the church, this is what's there. They're saying this within the church. Many churches where there's true believers, this is going on. That can't be. Where we weary the Lord with our words and make it like God is approving of this evil one, or this one that's practicing evil in His sight. That can never be. If there's evil in the assembly, whatever it is to be taken care of according to Scripture. Through discipline, through removing the wicked one from among us, whatever it is. But we can never succumb to thinking that God delights in anyone that's practicing sin. For us to even, it'd be unimaginable for the Christian to even have thoughts like this. We may see it in the church, but we need to be very careful that the church, the Lord says, "I know who are mine, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness." But we still need to carefully weigh things and judge things, and to watch very carefully that our words, simple things like, "Oh, do we have to be so mean to this person when we're disciplining," or something like that. These are not consistent. And what they do is they pull us down when the Word of God gives us the foundation for everything. And we need to watch that. I just want to read it again, because the prophet is saying, "You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, 'How have we wearied Him?' In that you say, 'Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delights in them.' Well, where's the God of justice?" This is a terrible thing to impugn God. Now, Jeremiah 1. I want to give you a little background. So when you're thinking about Isaiah, which says they call the, you know, evil good and good evil, we would expect that of the unbeliever, but we need to know a little more what's behind it. And in Jeremiah 1, verse 13, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see a boiling pot facing away from the north.' Then the Lord said to me, 'Out of the north, the evil will break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord. And they will come, and they will set each one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all its walls round about, and against all the cities of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me, and have offered sacrifices to other gods, and worshipped the works of their hands." We know that the Jeremiah is talking about the Babylonians, and God is going to use them to come and judge his people. And the Lord can use anything at his disposal. Any nation, every any kingdom, and he did it numerous times with Israel. And this is now the kingdom of the Babylon that will serve the Lord in his purposes to judge his people. Now in Habakkuk 1, we're going to get a little insight into this army. But we're going to find out something very interesting that will help us with Isaiah about the evil good and good evil. The oracle, chapter 1, Habakkuk. The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw: "How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arise. Therefore the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore justice comes out perverted." This is what's happening today. Is that we are surrounded by unrighteousness, by wickedness, and the very justice that we want comes out perverted. And that's the way it's going to be here on the earth. It's never going to be right because of this situation. But there's no injustice with God. And he will have his day with a righteous judgment. Now we go on to read, "Look among the nations, observe. Be astonished, wonder. Because I am doing something in your days you would not believe it if you were told. For behold, I am rising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty. They whose strength is their God." I want you to notice verse 7 so that we get an idea of something behind the evil good and good evil. It says, "Their justice and authority originates within themselves." That is like speaks volumes of what's going on. Where is our justice from, and where is our authority? It's all from the Lord. It's all from the Word of God. We have none, but what we find in God, because we have a relationship with Him and He has given this to us, that we would know justice, we would know righteousness, we would know evil. When a person without God is working his mind, it originates within himself. His own justice and his own authority come from within him. We don't have that. The authority for us is the Word of God. And we rely on it for everything. For our very being, our well-being, for our life, how to worship God, how to present ourselves as a holy people before Him. God has revealed everything we need to know for all godliness. The world knows nothing of this. But it's easy to get swept away when we see the wrong and lose the calming effect of the Word of God, which garrisons our hearts. He's overcome the world. And greater is He that is in you than is in the world. The Christian does not have to be alarmed about what's going on. We can't fix it. But we can live a life that others will see, that will magnify the Lord Jesus, that will cause them to see God's righteousness, His holiness in our own lives. That's all we can do. We can't even really correct much of what's going on because the world has already cast off the yoke. But God sits in heaven and laughs because He's set His King on high. He laughs at the nations. But the Bible reminds us, cursed is the man that trusteth in flesh. And the Christian needs to be very careful that he's not seeking through men some justice or other avenues. Our justice comes from the Lord, we're told in Scripture, and we'll get to that. But so we see the evil good, the good evil in Isaiah, but behind it, we see that justice and authority is emanating from themselves, which makes it so that, of course, everything's relative. They have no rock. They have no anchor. They have no absolutes. So their justice and authority resides within them. Our absolutes are right here in the Word of God. And there's no deviation from the last generation or from Paul's generation till now, not one, because the Word of God doesn't change. That's what the comfort is we have in a world that is hostile towards God, hostile towards us. God doesn't change. But we need to be very careful that we don't let slip in things that might cause us to waver on an issue or something. Just, it doesn't matter if 100,000 people say that something's right. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Doesn't matter if the whole world says something's right, which it looks like that's what's going on right now. Doesn't matter. God says it's wrong. But the Christian has nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. We can be at peace. God is our protection, our source of strength. Everything God has given us is through the Holy Spirit that indwells in us. And we know, we're not trying to get a piece of this earth. If you are, you will be dying naked. Well, I'm sorry, they do clothe you. But in reality, you came in with nothing, you're leaving with nothing. You can't take anything with you. There's nothing. So, but we do take what we do for the Lord. And it's very important that we are not swept away. So we're surrounded by unrighteousness. We're surrounded. Now, I don't hear anymore trying to win Long Island for Christ. That was folly anyway, to win an island for the Lord. It was nonsense just to like to win the United States for the Lord. What does Amos say? It's only one nation I've chosen. Israel. That's what the Lord says. And all of a sudden, Christians are going to try and take back the United States from the owner and possessor of the United States, which is not God. Remember what he said to Christ? If you bow down and worship me, all these things I'll give you because they've been given to me. All the nations of the world. The United States, China, they're all the same. It's just that we are enjoying a different benefit here. We don't want to lose that benefit, so we're willing to get in the fry of things and want to maintain something that the Lord is not going to allow us to keep because the earth is reserved for judgment. And nothing's going to change that. But our lives, as we're in the Word of God, can be renewed, changed, useful to the Lord for every good work, and win people for Christ. Now, in Micah 3:11, again, we're dealing with Israel. Her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe, her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity's not going to come upon us. Do not rely, even as a company here, that God would have any part of sin and remain here, that we could say he's in our midst if we are outright contrary to the word and endorsing sin. Will never happen. Our God will not. He will alienate himself from us, just like we see in other places in Scripture, where he alienates himself because his eyes are too holy to behold sin. Yet Israel treated God like they did the ark. They took it into battle as a good luck charm. And here, the Lord's in our midst. While they're in sin, to where in Jeremiah it says, if there was one man who did justice, God wouldn't pronounce the judgment with the Babylonians. If there was one man, he could find one. That's what it says in Jeremiah. That's how unjust, how wicked things have gotten. Yet the people were, he's in the midst. We don't want that for us. And in 2 Kings 17, it's just like when the Assyrians conquered Israel and took them away. They sent other people that they had conquered into the land, and lions were killing them. It says in this one particular verse, 33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods, according to the custom of the nations from among whom they had been carried away into exile. They feared the Lord, served their own gods. We don't want to ever get to a point where we're claiming to serve the God, but serve our God under the guise of wickedness or a total disregard for his word. And you can't imagine how the enemy works on us through little things, weakening just how that bulwark work is, a little here, a little there, to weaken us in a thought. Maybe how we feel about something when God's already told us how he feels. The enemy works and works to where you have such sympathy for the sinner. I'm talking about a believer that's in sin, that justice can't even be done in the church because of the voices of the masses that are now fighting against God and his word. I have to be very careful that that doesn't happen to us. And in closing, Proverbs 29, many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. You ought to memorize this. It ought to be committed to you because it is telling you when you have to go to court, Your justice is from the Lord. You may be going to court, the judge may be there, your lawyer may be there, but justice is from the Lord. For us, our justice is from the Lord. That's a comfort. And that's who we wait on. Cursed is the man that trusteth in flesh. And so what it's saying is, you know, they're seeking the ruler's favor. Maybe they can get out of this or something like that. Forgetting that justice comes from the Lord for man. The Lord takes care of everything in our lives. We can look to Him. This simple thing of justice, we might not see it necessarily this moment, but God says there is no injustice with Him, and He's swift, it says, to pronounce judgment and to care for the righteous and to heap punishment on the wicked. Remember, with God, He's been around a long time. Man has been around very short. So when God says something, it's from all eternity, there's no time limit for Him. To Him, it's He's entered into time, so there's something swift that He's going to do in a period of, you know, short time. But for us, it appears long. But we just want to keep in mind today that we don't get rattled. There is no justice. We're surrounded by the wicked, Habakkuk says. And that's why justice is perverted. But God is for us, and we know that justice comes from Him. I mean, think of Joseph in the prison, and he even put a little word in, listen, when you get back to the Pharaoh, could you just remember me? That didn't happen for 3 years. Was God unjust? Absolutely not. He had a plan over here with the famine, everything orchestrated, but justice happened. Joseph was vindicated. All these things, God was there, even though it has the appearance. And what we're seeing in the world today is rampant sin. This, don't sweat it. God has given you the power to overcome, to live in a world that's hostile against us. And there's justice with Him and to the man who seeks after Him. Time and time again, the Lord told Israel, don't rely on the chariots of Egypt. And we need to be careful that we don't do that. Our source is the Lord from above, and our strength is there. And we can rest assured that He's for us. In everything, He's for us. But let's be very careful as the days go on that we don't get caught up with the masses. We're seeing things and it makes you feel, you know, there's no urgency. There is no urgency at all. If there's any urgency, it ought to be to run into the Word and say, you know, in a 24-hour period, I've given God 30 minutes of my time every day. This is the God of all eternity, who we're going to spend all eternity with, and yet we sometimes glibly spend time with Him. We don't think about Him. We don't meditate on His Word. And we wonder why there's no real light. It's because 30 minutes with the Lord and 23 hours and a half in the world, we have to bring the Lord into everything. In everything we do, we have to be thankful for everything. We have to see everything is from His hand. We have to be a people that are engaged with our God, who enjoys worshipers. That's what He was seeking. We're His worshipers, a people for His own possession, to proclaim the excellencies, and not only to proclaim it to people, but to proclaim back to God how excellent You are, how wonderful You are. That's where it first starts. Then to enjoy the what we are, but to be able to tell God how wonderful He is, enjoy Him. It takes more than 30 minutes. It takes a life that's enjoying Him daily. But you will not get that apart from the Word, because the Bible says, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. If you do that, you will have the mind of God, and you will have given the Holy Spirit something to work with in your daily life, to where He can bring to mind at any moment a scripture, a thought, to bring you on that path of righteousness and keep you there. It's the Word. It's not thinking about the Lord, praying about the Lord, but not reading His Word. It's everything. But the Word is paramount, that we get it in us so that we know what God's thinking about things, and we can actively be working in this world without letting our emotions get away from us, because we know our God has everything under control. And we have a hope. We know what that God says, I've prepared a place for you. It's not like we don't know where we're going. We don't know the end of the story. We got it all. We're saved. We're on our way to glory. But let's go and join our God and enjoy less of the world. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you that it is so unbelievably wonderful and helpful. And you knew it was food when you gave it to us, and without it, we'd be hungry and starving and famished. And we just thank you that we have such a resource and can delight in our God, who is truthful, right, holy in everything. And we just thank you today that we could just enjoy your word and consider these things. And we thank you that our justice originates with you. If we have any authority, it's delegated by you. It's all from you. As John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. We acknowledge that there's nothing we have or will have that did not come from your hand. And we thank you for that today. Amen.